bedroom tax if you had an extra bedroom in the UK. And we realised that there was kind of bubbling interest in this on Twitter from some of our readers on Twitter. And Claire Phipps is one of our news editors, and I just went to her and said, you know, could we do like a weekly Twitter chat where we find out some of the realities of how this is affecting people on a day-to-day basis? And she said, yeah, that's fine, I'll give up, you know, an hour of my lunchtime and we'll do that. So we started doing this and began to see that it was having a lot of traction on Twitter. We were getting a lot of stories. And each week we'd get people like the Bushbury Hill estate who had, you know, really brilliant, not brilliant, but in the journalistic sense, brilliant case studies of how this was affecting people. And we were able to sort of tweet them and find out a bit more and write some blog posts. And then we sent down one of our news feature writers, Amelia Gentleman, to meet some of these people who originally had got in touch through those Twitter chats. And then, of course, you can see that from the web chats, we get even more comments and more case studies and responded to that. And again, The Guardian then builds up a reputation for being the newspaper that's really following this issue. And readers keep coming back to us because they know that we're listening. They can see that we've followed it up. And we'd always tweet back everyone, you know, a week later saying thank you. And did you see this piece that we did? And, you know, do continue to get in touch. So it's this constant kind of interaction with the readers. So that's just one example through social. The Guardian recently did a story about people that are on contracts in the UK, actually at Sports Direct, which is a clothing chain, who were on contracts that were 0 hours, which basically just aren't very good contacts for people. They mean that they can kind of drop them at a moment's notice, and it means that they kind of don't know when their next shift is going to be. So they're not great contracts. And we did a call out for people's experiences following on from this story that we had in the paper, because I just thought, you know, we probably have more people from different big companies that are on these kind of contracts. And I could see on Twitter that the story was getting quite a lot of reaction and there was loads of comments there. So we did this call out and we had a Google form embedded so people could tell us anonymously as well and could get in touch that way. Google Forms are brilliant for that, actually. People just will fill out a form and just give you as much information as possible. But also, I was looking for brand names in the comments, sort of scanning, like thousands of comments looking for other companies that were using these contracts. And I saw that Cineworld, which is a big cinema chain, was mentioned a couple of times. This is through thousands of comments. It's kind of a long process to find that 2% gem. And so we thought, okay, this sounds quite interesting. There's only two, but I'm going to email them and see if they get back in touch. And then I'm going to look around on the internet for anything else, like about Cineworld and zero-hour contracts, if I can find anything. And actually, we put the email of the reporter as well, like right in the stand first of the story, so we were quite clear that we were looking for more stories. And didn't get much back from those two emails. Sort of didn't get anything back for about 24 hours, in which time, you know, the reporters were sort of finding out about other companies. Buckingham Palace was one of them, and wanted to know more about, you know, was there any other big corporations that were using these quite, you know, not very nice contracts for people, and looking into the law around it as well. So I decided that, you know, we knew that there was something about Cineworld. We weren't quite ready to go to them for a comment, but we wanted to find some more case studies to kind of stand this up. And I've been tweeting about zero-hour contracts all day. The reporters have all been tweeting about zero-hour contracts all day, so we didn't really want to put it out there like a call-out on our Twitter feed because of the point you mentioned, actually, about competitors picking up on it. So we thought, actually, we have a film account, Guardian Film, that's more cultural and has got a huge following. And I'm sure we could do something interesting there, which isn't going to alert our competitors. So we did this kind of vague tweet about that we're doing a Guardian project. And I do this quite a lot by email as well, actually, just to see if people are interested, to see if they're the kind of people that want to help the Guardian. I usually think they are, but I might email and say, you know, we're doing a Guardian project about such and such, can you help? And we had a couple of hundred responses. And also we decided to put Adam Bolt email on there, and he's my counterpart in culture. So it wasn't obvious that this was going to be a news piece because he works on film and music and culture. And our readers know him and they trust him. So it was a kind of quite a good wording of that to make sure that we got the right kind of people getting in touch. We had lots of emails like this, sort of, I work at Cineworld, what's the project? You know, let me know. And actually, when we explained what we were doing, unanimously people were happy to get involved. You know, there was no kind of, I've been duped, you know, I thought that this was about something fun or whatever. They understood that, you know, we're a news organisation, we're, you know, doing journalism. You know, I'm not sure they knew what it was about when they emailed, but we'd built that trust up. Adam, in fact, had built most of the trust up with his Twitter followers, and they were more than happy to get involved. So then we had this piece, which had sort of all these case studies that we'd managed to get from Cineworld and Buckingham Palace and more. And we then went to Cineworld for a comment and sort of did that. And it was actually the front page splash at The Guardian. So we got that splash out of essentially started off as seeing a comment in the comment thread. And then we did more stories on how Cineworld was reacting. And I think that's just a good example of why it's important to read your comments and see what people are saying about your stories, because you might find that there's some kind of new lead or new story that you can get from this. And then just one final example of that, which I think also shows the kind of power of what can happen when you build up these highly engaged communities, is what Shiv Malik did around his investigations into internships and government internship schemes around work there. So the government was running internships for people who are on Job Seekers Allowance, which is a type of benefit. And we could see that the story was creating quite a lot of interest, having sort of thousands of comments with lots of recommends on those comments as well. So again, we kind of put a Google form in here, asking for people's case studies. The BBC does this quite well as well, sort of putting something on every story, saying, you know, if this affects you, here's how you get in touch. And ended up having this girl, Kate Riley, come back and say, you know, actually, I've been told that if I don't work at Poundland, my benefits will be cut. And Poundland's just like, you just wouldn't have thought that the government would send people onto that kind of scheme for getting into work. It's basically kind of like a sacking shells job. So this was quite one of those shocking stories that make people's ears prick up and realise that there's something weird happening here. And a lot of people related to this story. So you can see Shiv Malik's the reporter, it's got 1,776 comments. And then nearly every comment in the first couple of hundred had like thousands of recommends as well. And you don't need to be signed in to recommend. So, you know, those users who haven't quite got to the stage where they feel ready to comment wanted to share that they thought that this was an important story. So that was a kind of user behaviour that we picked up on as well, but it's worth keeping your eye out for. And Shiv was brilliant, being very active in the comment thread, sort of responding to people and trying to give more information, even just going in to say thanks for commenting, to show that we were there and we were listening.
And can you explain how this recommendation thing works?
Yeah. So you have to register and sign into the Guardian website to leave a comment. And you can register through an email or Twitter or Facebook. But the recommend is just like a thumbs up, and you don't have to sign in to recommend a comment. So I think a lot of readers who haven't, you know, they haven't ever signed up with The Guardian, they don't have a commenting account with us, but perhaps were reading the comments and reading the story and wanted to share that they thought that these were important comments that we should be looking at. It's just a different type of view choose a behaviour that we haven't seen before. So recommends you to get sort of 20 recommends or 100 recommends if it's funny comment or that kind of thing. It's just something that we kind of picked up on that was a bit different, that alerted us to the fact that people were interested in this story. And then we asked Kate Riley to write a comment is free piece for us, so an opinion piece, which did really well. And then finally, we continued the story, and Shiv kind of carried on his investigations, lots of calls with the government, his contacts, and found that, and eventually the government stopped doing this kind of workfare scheme, which had a, that's a great real life impact from, you know, essentially what started as a regular story, but through the community engagement made us do more and actually make the government take a U-turn on that thing. And this story has carried on, and Shiv has been absolutely relentless with the government, and also very diligent in responding to users, you know, building up that community around his reporting, using the same hashtag on his tweets about it, and responding in comments. You can see that's got another 1,478 comments. And finally, I've just mentioned witness at the beginning. But when it comes to kind of crowdsourcing, this is an